scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it looks corner to Aguilar. Aguilar in the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilar. Three round, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, happy Friday. Happy first Friday Stampede 2025. And welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com and FC Hockey. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to our Groundworks downtown studio. We got a busy hour ahead on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Text lines open at 960-960 if you're listening here live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. What's up, Vicks? Happy Friday.
It is Friday. That I can confirm.
It is indeed. It is first Friday. Boy, if you some of the images of some of the different tents on Thursday around the city.
Oh, was it buzzing?
It was buzzing. Yeah. Buzzing where I was buzzing. Yeah, it's going to be a fun stampede. I'm looking forward to it. Then there was one high profile restricted free agent now to figure out if you're the Flames, and that player, after Morgan Frost signed his 2-year deal earlier this week, that player is Connor Zary. Connor Zary, unsigned. And I don't know, Vicks, I'm curious as to where you are on this one. It just, I don't know, it kind of feels like a matter of time until this one gets figured out. It feels like whether it's a week or a month, at some point this is going to get done. Because here's what we can tell you on Flames Talk. Two sides have been talking and continue to talk. Craig Conroy has said that publicly, and as we're sitting here on the 4th of July, two sides continue to talk and try to get something done. That was the latest check. And on top of that, Flames and Craig Conroy are confident that something can get done here sooner rather than later. And there's no real incentive for Zary to let this thing drag on. Obviously, the Flames would like this thing to get done sooner rather than later, and there's a belief that that can happen. And if you're Zary in his camp, there's really no sense in letting it drag on either, because you're looking to have a good season. You're looking to have a better season. So all things considered, Vicks, it just feels like this is something that gets figured out at some point this summer, whether it's in July, whether it's in August. Like, it just feels like at some point we'll get news that Connor Zary has signed a contract, and almost certainly going to be a bridge contract, which we'll get into. But it feels like this will get done, because, yeah, there might be some haggling over a dollar figure there, $100,000 there, $50,000 there, whatever the case may be. But there's just really no reason on either side for this thing to drag on beyond the summer. So I guess what I would say is I wouldn't be worried about this thing turning into a situation. At the very least, I don't think it would make any sense, especially on the player's side, for this thing to drag into September and now start to threaten potentially training camp or something like that.
Yeah, from my perspective anyway, this is a situation where the sooner it gets done from the Zary camp's perspective, the better. It does feel like an inevitability. It'll get done at some point. But from the player's perspective, I feel like the earlier it gets done, the better. This is a player from, again, my perspective, got to be there for day one of training camp, got to hit the ground running. The sooner that this gets done, the sooner you move past it, and it becomes, even if it's a minimal distraction, even if we're talking about 10% on the day-to-day, it's still a little bit of a distraction. And Connor Zary, this is going to sound so cliche because you hear it every summer for every player, never mind if he's 21, 23, 27, 31. It's the biggest summer of my career. But for Connor Zary, that holds true right now. You've got two NHL seasons under your belt. You've only played a combined 117 NHL games. So why let a sort of any distraction linger? Especially, like, I can't imagine it being anything but a bridge deal. I know you're of the same mind.
Yeah.
I imagine that both the Calgary Flames and Zary's camp are well aware of where this is going.
Yeah.
So why let it linger? Why cranberry this thing?
Well, and I mean, I think of a similar situations over the last number of years that just I don't think you'd want to see play out the same way. I think of, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago when Andrew Mangiapane, when he was still being repped at that point by Rich Winner, that group, like Mangiapane and his camp, family, representative, so on and so forth, they waited a long time, and Brad Treliving and co basically said, like, here's the deal.
We'll await you.
Take it or leave it. But show up at training camp, sign the deal, or don't. It's up to you. Eventually, man, sign the deal. And you know, then the next time around, he got the next two contracts, he got nice raises on them. But it basically was like, hey, here's your deal. And if you want it, take it. And I think eventually, because the negotiations weren't going very well, Tree even dug his heels in a little bit more and was like, here's your QO. If you want it, take your QO. If
50
not,
grand less every day until I hear a yes. Not quite like that.
And,
but
and the other one was Oliver Shillington. And Oliver Shillington signed and signed late. And then now Zeri won't have to deal with these types of things. But Shillington had to deal with some visa things on top of it, really derailed his training camp and put him behind the eight ball. He didn't have a very good season as a result. So those are two recent examples in the last half decade-ish or so where I'd say, like, just don't let that happen. Don't put yourself in that spot. The Flames don't want the player to put himself in that spot because they want him to have a good season. Zeri wants to have a good season. We'll get into that a little bit more specifically in just a second. But, yeah, I mean, those are just two examples that come to mind in recent times that would suggest, like, hey, like, there's the incentive to let this thing drag on to maybe haggle over a couple of $100,000 or $50,000. I just don't think is worth the potential downside on the other end if you're the player specifically, also the team.
The other one example I'll reference, it isn't necessarily a Calgary Flames one, but it's timely and Flames related or Flames adjacent, was Morgan Frost talking about his last contract with Philadelphia. That didn't get signed till September 7th, and he was telling us all about how everybody else was going to camp, and he's like, what's going on? And where am I going
to
skate?
He had nobody to skate with anymore. Exactly. And he had the same type of thing. The immigration and the visa didn't come through in a timely manner. So that held things up a little bit. You know, it feels like the incentive to get this done is too much on either side, that it just feels like it'll get done this summer.
Right.
And I'm with you. It also just feels like it's a bridge deal. I know the team has kind of been of the bridge deal mentality. If you're the player,
if I'm the player, I want a bridge deal.
Well, listen to this from Morgan Frost when he joined us on Thursday's show. Similar-ish situations in that coming off not your greatest season, and team doesn't quite know what you are. As a player, you're trying to prove what you are to the team, and in both cases, a shorter-term deal makes the most sense to give yourself flexibility or upside on the back end of that contract. That's what it was for Morgan Frost, and I think this clip plays very much into what the rationale might be on both sides for Connor Zeri. This was Morgan Frost when he joined us, and you asked him why the two-year deal made sense.
It's probably a fit for both sides. You know, I think that I can, you know, produce a lot more and do more on my end. And, you know, to be honest with you, I still think I have to show a little bit of who I am as a player. And I think that's probably what they see from their side. So, I think that brings me to 28. It's in a good spot. And I think the team has a chance to do some really good things over the next 2 years. So I'm happy with it. And hopefully I can only build on it. And then, you know, hopefully stay longer after this one.
So there's Morgan Frost on why the two-year deal worked a lot for him. He was very, very forthright in saying that this is something that makes sense for both sides and makes sense for him. And understandably why it's a good deal for the team. But for him, it's like, hey, here's 2 years to prove to them what you are. They're buying, in his case, one unrestricted year, so that bumps up the AAV a little bit, which is why I think it got to the $4.375 million. And then see what you can do. And if you're him, go out and get 55 points this year. You know, you talked on Thursday about it. You see more upside, and I'm kind of with you. You see more upside in Frost. So go out and have a 55-point season next year and be a really good two-way center for the team and show them that, hey, this is what you are, and then all of a sudden open the door in a year's time to a new contract extension.
You could almost take that quote verbatim, except for the direct reference to age, and you can just copy and paste Connor Zeri's name into it because, again, Connor Zeri only has 2 years of NHL experience under his belt. He has a 14-goal, 34-point campaign as a rookie in 23-24, and then this past season had 13 goals, 27 points, in 54 games, which is a half point per game pace. It's a 20 goal pace over an 82 game schedule, but he only played 54 of those 82 games. And so there's a concern about, and again, this isn't a knock on him not being able to stay healthy. Like it's a flaw on his end. Bad case of bad luck a couple of times with a pair of knee injuries. But the fact of the matter remains is on your resume, you have a 14 goal season and a 13 goal season, a 34 point season and a 27 point season, which from my perspective, if I'm sitting in the player's chair, I don't feel like a 27 or a 34 point player. I feel like I've got a lot more to give and I'm willing to bet on myself on the shortest term I can get so I can get those numbers turned around, get them to what reflects the eye test a little bit more in my opinion, and then go from there to try and find a long-term deal.
And you could get the one-year deal. You could, but two makes a little bit more sense. Well, gives you a little bit more runway, right? So all things considered, it feels like a two-year deal, maybe a three-year deal, but some sort of a bridge makes the most sense here. You know, we're not talking about a guy who is closing in on unrestricted free agency either, whereas Morgan Frost is a year away from being eligible for UFA. Like, it's still 4 years for Connor Zary until he's eligible for unrestricted free agency. So you can even, if you wanted to, if the Zary camp was maybe looking for a slightly higher AAV, you could maybe go 3 years on a bridge. And still you're not buying any UFA years and gives him a little bit more runway. I guess it kind of depends on where the players camp is in that regard. But, you know, the other thing about Zary, why a bridge deal I think makes so much sense for him is because he's a really confident guy and he has a lot of belief in what he is as a player. And so if I'm him, I'm not super keen to be signing long-term either because, you know, my leverage isn't there to get the type of money that dollar figure that I'd feel like I'm worth in on a long-term deal with the type of leverage that you got right now. So it makes a ton of sense for him. And I think that I know that he believes that there's a whole lot more offense there, a whole lot more production there than the 34 points and 27 points he's had the last year. Even listen to Connor back on Locker Cleanout Day. This was him talking about his season, the injuries, and how frustrating last year was. And he dove right into just that and why this year was so disappointing for him.
I think I know I have so much to offer. I think with my ability and what I can do and how I can keep growing my game and I think the pace I was on, I think I could produce more, but at the end of the day, I think if I play even 70 games out of the 80, I think I'm a 20 goal guy, I'm a 50 point guy, and I think it's disappointing to kind of not reach those goals that I had set for myself, but there's also a lot of positives knowing that I went through a lot and I was able to kind of come out on the other side of that with nothing really serious going on in those injuries.
So I put myself in the player's shoes in this one, or player's skates. So if I, as you just heard Connor say on Locker Cleanout Day, I believe I'm a 20 goal, 50 point guy if I play the way that I was playing without the injuries. And I don't think he's wrong. I could absolutely see that.
Yeah.
So, okay, you think you're a 20-goal, 50-point guy, but you also need to read the scenario, kind of read the writing on the wall as it stands right now. You haven't been a 20-goal guy. You haven't been a 50-point guy. And so you're not going to get paid like a 20-goal, 50-point guy after two foolish seasons in the NHL. Your leverage, your resume isn't there yet, especially on a shorter term deal. So you look at it and say, I think I'm a 20 goal, 50 point guy. Let's sign a shorter term deal. Let's be a 20 goal, 50 point guy twice. And then I'm going to get paid like that and maybe get a little bit of upside on my paycheck as well. Maybe they'll pay me like a 20 goal, 50 point guy. And maybe they'll also give me a little bit of a bump because they feel like I can be a 25, 60 point guy. And so that's why I think it makes so much sense for the player as well. Like, if he wants a 6-year deal right now, they're not giving him the type of money that would reflect 20 goals and 50 points on. Like, that's just not what they're going to give him. And no team would. So if you're him, like, get your resume a little bit more fleshed out, hit or flirt with 20 goals a couple of times, and then see what happens when your next contract comes up. And 2 years is decent runway. If you want to give yourself even a little bit more, you could go three, take yourself a little bit closer to unrestricted free agency, and then they'll be buying more UFA years on the next deal. I mean, that's kind of what I think a lot of the conversation would be internally with his camp, but that's why I think the bridge deal makes so much sense right now. And obviously makes a ton of sense for the team as well, because they don't know exactly what he is. Can he play center? All those types of things.
Well, yeah, you can feel like a 20-goal, 50-point guy, but as you pointed out, you haven't done it yet, and you've still got plenty of time. Again, you're only 23. You'll be 24 by the time the puck drops next season, but you haven't done it. So you can't necessarily go, even if the team believes that you can be that too, you can't in a negotiation go out and demand that pay scale because you haven't done it. Does the team believe you can? I would imagine they do. The player certainly does, as we had just heard. But the fact is you only got a 14-goal season and a 13-goal season under your belt. Now, for me, the tough thing to gauge is, and he said it in the quote, is if I'm healthy, I think I get there. For me, he was probably one of, if not the most, quote-unquote, dynamic forward Calgary had up until he got caught by, what was it, Drew Helison of the Anaheim Ducks?
Yep, and that Ducks and
then, thankfully, there was no significant damage done. Comes back, gets rolled up by Mikko Rantanen again in sort of another freak incident.
That one was scarier. That one was a complete freak accident. At least the
Helison one I can understand how it happened-ish. But the fact is you got to come back and you got to prove that you can be a 20-50 guy. And I think he actually can be a little bit more than that. But 20 to 50, those are nice round numbers, and we can work off them for that. But you haven't got there yet. So that's why for me, if I'm the player even, I'd be harping in on that two-year deal. Stability for yourself, just in case something happens again. But on the flip side, too, you're going to get that opportunity soon enough.
And maybe the stability side has the Zary camp leaning more towards a three-year bridge. That I could
potentially
see. But just the bridge, 2 or 3 years, makes so much sense. One, too much risk for the player, I think.
And anything longer than three, you're a really good player, you're probably taking money out of your own wallet.
Exactly. You're probably leaving money on the table if you go anything
longer
than three, right?
That's a better phrase than money out of your own wallet. I appreciate that.
Both make sense.
Yours is better. I'll concede that to you. In this negotiation we're having right now, I will concede to you your phrase was better.
The other thing that was kind of unfortunate is that while Zary was on the shelf after the first injury, they made the Morgan Frost acquisition, and now Frost kind of bumped Zary from that 3C role, which Zary was auditioning for at the time. And so now the question becomes, and I know Wes, the other member of the Flames Talk fam.
He won't hear this. He's golfing.
Yeah, he doesn't listen when he's not on. But he's of the belief that the Flames, have, at the very least in training camp, need to really give Zary reps down the middle and find out, or at the very least start to find out, whether he can be a center at the NHL level. I don't know if, as it stands right now, that opportunity is there because of the Frost acquisition and now the 2-year extension with Kadri.
Like, who would you bump?
Probably right now he's probably looking at being a winger, but at least at training camp and through the preseason, give him some center ice reps. I get that, but That's the next thing, or the other thing that I think on this next contract, Zary needs to figure out, the Flames need to figure out, are you a center or are you a winger in the NHL? He's played center, but are you a center at this level? That still needs to be figured out, I believe, in the next couple of years, too.
Straight from the departed, are you a cop or do you want to pretend to be a cop?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Are you a center or are you a guy that can just play center every once in a while? We don't know what that is yet. Centers get paid more than wingers. If you've got the equal center and the equal left winger, the center's going to get more money, commands more dollars, commands more responsibility. Are you a center or are you a winger?
Sergeant Dignam.
Oh, that movie's so good.
Maybe yes. Maybe no.
Maybe
go do something else. What is the number low? So let's... and this is just a guess. Or not even a guess. This is not what I'm guessing is going to happen.
I'm going to write mine down just so it doesn't look like I'm piggybacking.
Okay. I just feel like if it's a 2-year deal, somewhere in the, I don't know, 3 million range makes sense. On a 3-year deal, maybe it's something closer to 3.5. But like a 2-year deal, 3 million AAV just seems to make a lot of sense on both sides. Good stability for the player. And you're kind of in the same
range.
3 to 3.5.
I was basing mine on a 2-year deal.
Okay.
Which is very similar to what you just did. But I wanted to write it down so it didn't look like I was piggybacking you a little bit.
Two times
and to me,
three?
It's a little bit different than Morgan Frost's situation. Frost, again, we know he's a center. He bought UFA years and has a little bit more runway as a guy that's been over 40 points.
Significantly more runway than Zeri has. I mean, Frost is at 310 NHL games. Zeri's 117.
27 total goals in Connor Zeri's NHL career.
Frost is now at four full seasons in the NHL. Zeri hasn't even gotten one, and an injury's messed with the one that should have been. So I guess you could say it's one full season, but yeah.
He had a little bit of injury trouble as a rookie.
Absolutely. So, I do think that you're talking about more leverage for a higher number for a guy like Morgan Frost than Connor Zeri. This text says, I see a lot of similarities between Zeri and Bennett early in their careers. If he's healthy, will he get the shots that Bennett didn't really get? And will he take the reins and run with it? That comes from Sheldon. I don't know. I think it's a really fair question. I think that the Flames would like to give him those shots. And this is a group that does feel a little bit more committed to youth and giving youth the opportunity. So I could see some more opportunities, and especially as the roster evolves, I think they would really like to have Connor Zeri turn into a bona fide top six guy, or give him every opportunity for him to turn into a bona fide top six guy.
The one thing that I think Connor Zeri has going for him is, from my perspective, he's probably a top three, at worst a top five player on the Flames in terms of pure skill. And we know how much Calgary's been looking for guys that can play a top-end game, can play the skill game. To me, if everything goes right according to Connor Zeri, his health, his development, so on and so forth, he can be a top three player on this team in terms of pure skill. And again, for me, up until the injury that he sustained against Anaheim, might have been their most, at least from an eye test perspective, most dynamic, the forward that would pull you to the edge of your seat the most.
He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So Calgary Flames Development Camp wrapping up on this Friday. 2025 D-Camp in the book. Steinberg Vickers not invited to Development Camp. We were like...
Me?
Invited as media.
Oh.
But we weren't invited as...
I mean, I could stand for a lot of finish. Development.
But Development Camp... On ice sessions finished on Thursday. They only did 2 days of on ice, Wednesday and Thursday. About a week that they had everybody together. They were at the Stampeders game on Thursday night. Big Stamps win. Big Stamps win over the Bombers in the Stampede Bowl. Very nice to see. BA went off, and that defense, a couple pick sixes. Let's go. Unbeaten Omar are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I digress.
As you predicted.
That's right. I got that one right. I was very happy about that one.
They did it for you.
And I believe on this Friday, they're doing a trip up to Banff and doing some team building up there. We're going to hear from a couple of defensemen here from Winsport. Had an opportunity to sit down with a couple of guys at Winsport this week at development camp. And one guy we spoke about on Thursday's show was Etienne Morin, because he's about, or at the very least age-wise, is ready to make the jump to pro hockey. And the plan is for him to be with the Calgary Wranglers at least to start the season, as he is an 05 birth year, which means he's a CHL overager or 20-year-old this year. And he's a QMJHL champ. The Moncton Wildcats won the QMJHL championship this year and advanced to the Memorial Cup. And he had a really important season. Challenged by the Flames in the fall of last year after a not-so-good draft plus two-year. Because is that right? I would have been draft plus 2 year. Yeah. That was not so good because he was a 2023 draft pick by the Flames. So
no, draft plus one.
Was it draft plus one?
Yeah. 23, 24 would be plus one. 24, 25, which we just passed, was draft plus two.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. So yes,
math.
His draft plus 1 year was a little frustrating from a Flames standpoint. They really challenged him in the fall of last year, and he responded well, had a really nice year. Points were back up, but more importantly, both he and the Flames felt like his all-round game took a significant step. So let's listen in. Had a chance to chat with Etienne Morin at development camp as he gets ready to take the step to pro hockey for next season.
Tell me about this season for you and how it went, how you look back on it, because I know that reading some things from you, you felt like you took some really big steps this year, hey?
Yeah, so that's one thing. Again, it's probably the year that I had the most fun playing hockey, but it was probably my most serious year too, so it was just like really fun. I was fortunate enough to have a really good coach, which is Gardner McDougall, and really showed me the way, like professional way, and it was just so fun, and we had such a good group, such a good core, so obviously it's awesome winning, and like I said, just the guys, the group coming to the rink every day working hard is the most awesome thing I've ever done.
Where did you see the most improvements in your game? Where did you see the biggest jumps?
I'd probably say my defensive game. I've worked a lot with someone named Paul, and it's just been like he's shown me stuff that I've never seen, and I don't know why since I've been playing hockey for a while. Huh. So, defensive game, I'm really excited. My agility on the blue line too, just some new tips in the bag, and just my overall thinking. I was so happy to come in every day and work, and the biggest improvement is definitely off the ice, which is just the nutrition, how I've been sleeping, recoveries, working out. So, like I said, I was fortunate enough to have Gardner, and really showed me the pro way.
Did the Flames kind of challenge you going into last season as well? Say, hey, here's a really big opportunity for you to take a big step?
Yeah, obviously, since I'm eligible now to play pro, so I know it's a different level. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to have a good coach.
Yeah.
But I also had a really good player coming back from the AHL after half a season there. So name is Dylan Gill, and really took me under his wing too, showed me like the workouts, what pros were doing back there in Syracuse. So it was, like I said, it was just awesome. It was such a nice teaching year for me, and I learned a lot.
Tell me about the playoff experience and how you talk about how much fun this season was. I imagine that playoff experience was pretty fun too.
Yeah, it was super great. We had two goals since the start of the season. As soon as we got there, we put two goals in, and it was the win the Gilles Courteau, it's called now in the QMJHL, and to win the Memorial Cup, we came up short on that, but we still battle. But obviously, just winning a championship is something you'll remember forever, and it was just so great to do it with that group of guys. And like I said, I'm fortunate enough to be there for 4 years, so I can't thank Moncton enough for that. And they technically changed my life. They built me as a player, but also a person, so very thankful for that.
So your specific game in the playoffs, you take a look at your points and you talk to people with the Flames and how well you played, felt like you really raised your game another level in the playoffs. How important was that for you to step it up even another level?
Yeah, no, it was really important. And I know people are looking for players that show up in big moments, and that's what I like to do. So I had a really good playoff run, whether it was offensively or defensively. It was just really good. And same thing, obviously, I had a really good team in front of me, so they helped me a lot too. So huge credit to Moncton. But I'm like I said, I was just excited, and a really good place, so I played really good hockey.
What did you learn about what it takes at the most important time of year?
Yeah, no, the little details are going to make a big difference. It doesn't look like it, but maybe one recovery is going to make your body feel 1% better, and that 1% is the difference between good and great. So those are, like I said, it's just the small details, the little things that you do that separates you from other people, other players.
I know that the Memorial Cup didn't go the way Moncton wanted, but just to be in that event and to get that experience and to live that must have been pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, it was really special, and I'm really happy about my Memorial Cup. And you know what, it's not the way we want it to be, but I know we battled the whole season. So obviously our goal was to win the last game of the season, but like I said, we battled hard, we played well, and a lot of emotion after our loss against London. But
And no, it was really fun. It was a great experience just to see the best four teams in Canada compete against each other.
Even with that, and as you likely take that jump to pro this coming season, what a perfect way to finish your junior career. I mean, I know the Memorial Cup, not how you wanted, but to win a championship and to have that type of year, in a lot of ways, you probably couldn't have drawn it up any better to finish your junior life, hey?
Yeah, no, exactly. And like I said, I'm really fortunate enough to have stuck with Moncton, and I'm really grateful they've been there for the whole 4 years with me. So, but yeah, no, it was really fun, like I said, and I just learned so much, and could have not happened at a better time than this year.
This is your third development camp now with the Flames. How much are you really embracing taking on a leadership role and being a guy to set the example?
Yeah, no, exactly. I want to be a leader. I'm one of the oldest now, even though I haven't been here that long.
You're 20, but...
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I want to lead the way, and that's what I've been doing a little bit so far. And obviously, I want to take guys under my wing like some guys did when I came here as an 18-year-old. So it's obviously a different world. It's different being around pros, and I just want to show those ways.
How ready do you feel to make the jump to pro next season?
Right now, I'm more than ready, and I can't wait for the end of the summer because I'm going to be ready for sure. So, no, I'm just – I don't want to sound cocky about that either. I'm just like I said, I'm such a good place, and I know how hard pro is it is to play. And but I'm going to work so hard this summer. I have 2 months ahead of me, and I'm not going to take a single day off, and I'm going to watch everything I do. So I'm just so excited to come back here in September and fight for a spot.
It really feels like you said you're in a really good place, but like even sitting here, like you can tell that like this is as confident and settled you've ever felt in your hockey career.
Yeah, 100%. And I've always been a guy that's been calm, but I'm super confident. And I've realized this year that my best hockey is played when I'm confident and when I'm excited and enjoying the game. So obviously I'm super serious when it comes to small details in the gym or stuff like that, but it's also very important to have fun. You got to balance it.
You played the one American League game a little while back last season. What it's only one game. It was late in the season. What did that teach you about what it's going to take at the next level?
yeah, no, the pace is super high. Every guy is just so good, and they're so big. I remember doing the warm-up, and I was looking on the other side, and every guy is like a head above mine. So I got to take the speed as my advantage, and I'm going to really focus on myself, and then hopefully everything will go good, because when you're prepared, everything goes well. So, but no, those are the small details that I saw, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Summertime, it's been a good summer so far for you? Like you, the training, the in the gym, that's all going well?
Yeah, well, it's been short since...
I guess so, yeah. It's only been like a few weeks, I would imagine.
Exactly. So I finished June 1st, got back home on June 4th, and I took 10 days off since we had a long season at 89 games. So it's important to rest your body a little bit. So I took 10 days off, went back... the 15, got a new trainer this year, training in Ottawa with the guy that just got here with Henry Mew.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, no, it's just awesome. And like I said, I only had 2 weeks of training, and I already see the improvement. So that's why I'm just so excited to see what 2 months is going to do to me.
Last one for you. Even Craig Conroy said it yesterday. If you're a young player in this organization, should be excited. There's going to be opportunity. How much does that fire you up?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's why I'm such in a happy place, and I'm so excited because I know anything can happen, and I've been told my whole life, oh, you're not gonna do it, you're not gonna do this, and I've always managed and found a way to do it because I adapt myself pretty good. So, and once again, I don't want to sound cocky, but yeah, no, it's just really fun to come in and work, and obviously that's why I'm looking forward to the 2 months ahead of me, because my goal ever since I've started skating is to play in the NHL like everybody else. So it's really exciting to be here.
Great stuff. Thanks for doing this, hey, and have a great rest of your summer.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Etienne Morin, who makes the jump to pro hockey, if all things go according to plan, this year with the Calgary Wranglers as a 20-year-old in the CHL. And just, I remember when I interviewed him on the draft floor, and he was like a year into learning English at that point, and was really nervous. Now a few years down the road, and dude barely speaks it with an accent. Like, good. Like, And even speaking to him before and after we recorded that interview, lot to like about where that young man's head's at. Good on him.
Absolutely. And you just look at his sort of projection or career from Moncton, his draft season, 72 points in 67 games to, as you mentioned, maybe a step back, if you will, of 49 points in 58 games, his D+1 season. It's not all about production. It's not all about points. But as you mentioned, the Flames challenged him, and lo and behold, he was an assistant captain on a Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League champion. I still have to remind myself to get that right.
QMJHL.
Yeah, but I always mess up that acronym for some whatever reason. It's like you in the National Team Development Program. Memorial Cup appearance for that group. You wonder what his future holds, because is a fifth season in the queue? Does that make sense from a development standpoint? Getting him into pro games, does that make more sense? Probably.
Yep.
We'll see what happens come fall.
So that is Etienne Morin. He has the ability to take the jump to pro hockey next year. Henry Muse does not, unless he was to play in the NHL, which is likely not the plan. But as he returns to, actually does not return to the OHL, he now actually makes the jump to the NCAA. He's going to the University of Michigan this year, Henry Muse is, after his time in the OHL. But what a year for Muse in his D+1 year. After a great platform year into the draft, this year, third in OHL scoring amongst defensemen as an 18-year-old. 14 goals, 82 points in 68 games. Only players with more points as D-men in the OHL this year, Zane Parekh, of course, and Sam Dickinson. Pretty darn good year.
Couple of top 10 picks.
Yeah, pretty darn good year for Henry Muse, the former third-round pick. And again, I like where his head's at in this chat. I had a chance to chat with Henry Muse at Winsport earlier this week as well.
Second development camp for you as a drafted member of the Flames. I know that the on-ice session's a little bit different, but how much more comfortable do you feel here? You're not as wide-eyed. It's not a week after you've been drafted. Just how different is this year compared to last year?
Yeah, definitely a lot more comfortable. And, you know, you see all the familiar faces, and you know the staff, you know the coaches, and, you know, the player development guys and everything like that. And definitely a lot more confident on the ice and just having fun and, you know, wanting to get better every day as well. You know, we had some presentation last night, and, you know, we're here to get better every day and with that mindset. And that's my mindset every day, and just want to get better in every workout, every ice time. And it's a lot of fun out there as well.
How would you, it's been about a year since you joined the Flames organization. How has that year gone? How would you look back on your first year with the Flames?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a great season this year. I think, you know, I was fired up after the draft. I wasn't really happy with, you know, what round I was selected in. But I learned quickly, you know, it doesn't really matter where you get drafted at the end of the day. And what matters is what you do after. So I was came in the season with, you know, a lot of fire and burn in my head. And I let it all out and had a good year and learned a lot of new stuff as well. And yeah, I'm really happy with how my season went. The development team's been great. You know, we've been doing a lot of talking a lot over the year and helping me out and areas I need to improve on and stuff. So, yeah, it's been great. I'm excited for the next year.
So tell me about the trade to Sudbury. And were you expecting it? Like, were you bracing yourself for a move in the weeks leading up?
I mean, nah, not necessarily. You know, I was in Ottawa. I wanted to win in Ottawa. And obviously, you know, we were in a playoff spot. And, you know, I kind of knew already that I was going to school. You know, it hasn't been announced yet, but I knew very early on that I was going to school to Michigan. And you know, I kind of told them that, you know, that I'm not coming back next year. I'm going to school, and you might, like, they want to get something for me, you know, a couple picks and stuff and a player. And, you know, I didn't want to kind of screw them over like that and just not show up the next year. So I let them know, and we all decided, you know, it was the best move, you know, for me to get moved. And Sudbury, you know, they had a good team. You know, they're second, or they're tied for first in the conference, you know, by the time I got traded there. And so, you know, I wanted to make my last run in the OHL. It was going to be my last year, so I wanted to have a good run at it. And I was having a good year as well. I was one of the top players in the league. So, you know, I wanted a good run at it. So, and that was the reason for the trade. And but mainly because I was going to school the next year, I wanted to have my last little shot in the OHL.
What was the actual adjustment like going from team to team and picking up and moving in the middle of the season? That was the first time for you. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time for me living away from home, for sure. So it was an adjustment, but, you know, I was really comfortable really quickly. I know a lot of guys on the team already. So,
okay.
The coach staff was all welcoming, and, it was great. I didn't really have much adjusting to do, and
I thought my transition was pretty good.
Walk us through the decision. So you knew pretty early on in the season that Michigan was going to be the next step for you. Walk us through that process in deciding to go the NCAA route.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a player. You know, I'm a bit premature for my age. You know, I don't think I've developed into my man body yet. A lot more gym time. You know, they focus a lot on heavy lifting, and we're in the CHL. You got Wednesday night games and three and threes on the weekends and stuff. And, you know, the program, they, you know, I had a lot of Zoom calls with different schools as well, and Michigan as well. And I was very impressed by, you know, the scheduling and just the day in the life and the gym, the workouts, the skates, and the development that was offered and stuff. And obviously, you see the alumni that, you know, have come through Michigan, especially defensemen and stuff. And, you know, they got the same coaching staff still there. So that got me really excited. And, you know, I was really excited to do that. And looking back at my time in the OHL, you know, I played my 3 years. You know, I still have more eligibility, obviously. But, you know, I think I've done what I need to do in the OHL, and I'm ready for the next step for the pro level. So I think this is going to be a huge step in my development in my career.
Here you are in the summertime, like just even thinking about being on campus and being at University of Michigan, like how much does that fire you up to think about being there this year and actually being a part of one of the most famed athletic programs in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. I went down there and looked at the rink. It was empty, obviously, but I just, you know, they pack it every game. I just can't wait for that, the buzz around the rink, and, you know, even going to the football games to watch. And, you know, I'm going to be studying sports management there too. So
okay.
That's something I want to do after hockey, is stay in the game. And it's a perfect world for me. And I think it's the best thing that could ever happen.
Do you have a sense in terms of what the jump might be like from going to the OHL to the NCAA, playing against even older guys?
Yeah, I actually don't even know. I don't know. That's the one thing I don't know what to expect on that. But I've assumed a big year of training, big summer training, and I may be there a couple months early before the season actually starts. So I'll get comfortable, you know, in the practices and in the workouts and stuff. But I think the transition will be pretty easy. Obviously, get a goal, just put in the work every day, do what I'm asked, and I think my game will speak for itself.
When you look back at this past season for you, talked about how happy you were with your on-ice performance. Where did you see the biggest? I mean, you take a look at the points, you saw a big jump, but when you evaluate your own game, where did you see the biggest strides from one year over the next?
Yeah, I think on the defensive side, I think, you know, I was focusing a lot more on, you know, killing plays and just my gap control and, you know, stopping guys and not being on the ice for a goal. And I think, you know, that led to more offensive opportunities for me throughout the season, which, you know, got my production up. And but that was the biggest thing for me, and that's the thing I still got to get better at, and I still got to, you know, I got to look forward to doing that this year. And it's going to be even more of a challenge this year playing against older guys, and, you know, the NCAA is going to be an even better league this year as well if that change. And but yeah, I think that was the biggest step for me this year compared to my draft year.
You hear a lot of guys talk about how, especially as they mature, like, hey, you know what, my offense is starting to come from how strong I'm playing on my own end and what I'm doing away from the puck. Did you find that the better you got away from the puck, the more it translated offensively?
Yeah, I mean, the development team in Calgary, they, you know, obviously, you know, the big knock on me was my defensive game and, you know, my size and stuff. And as a smaller defenseman, I got to, you know, do certain things extra. And that they were on me all year about that. And I did that. And I thought, you know, the offense just came to me. I didn't really focus on that too much.
Yeah.
It just came easy. It just came easily. And then I just focused on the D side.
How much fun did you have kind of going back and forth with Zane? You got both get drafted in the same year. You both have these incredible years in the Ontario League. Like, how much fun was that to have kind of a little back and forth with the guy that you hope to be teammates with in a couple of years here with the Flames?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun year playing against him. I mean, he had a little slow start, and I had a hot start, and I was ahead of him in the scoring race, and we were texting, calling out every few nights and stuff. And then, you know, after the new year came by, and he just went off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, congrats, like, good for you, bro. Like, he earned it. He's a hell of a player. And like today on the ice, you know, it's healthy competition. We're just making each other better, and we're great buddies off the ice, on the ice. We've known each other since we were little kids as well. So I love the kid to death, and he loves me. So we're just trying to make each other better and hopefully be teammates one day.
Yeah, and that's kind of the last thing I'll ask you. But, you know, today the on-ice session, it was you, Etienne, and Zane. That's three pretty skilled guys, some good skating out there. What was the on-ice session like, the three of you pushing one another?
Yeah, it was great. I think I love the format this year. And I thought we did that the second half of development camp last year, and they carried it over to main like the main part of development camp this year. And it was good. It was competitive. You know, we're making, giving each other tips out there. You know, we're kind of on each other too as well when someone makes a mistake or something. And but yeah, it's a lot of laughs as well, but we're trying to get better, make each other better out there. And I think that was the biggest focus. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Thanks for doing this, hey. Good luck in Michigan.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
that. That is Henry Muse. Had a chance to chat with him this week at development camp at Winsport as well. Two really well-spoken Henry Muse, Etienne Morin, confident, but like in a good way confident. Like I love
swaggy.
I love hearing Henry Muse say, I was pissed about going in the third round, and that motivated me. I like hearing that stuff. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. We know about Zane Parekh, and we know Hunter Brustevich had a nice first year in the American League. Where's this go with Muse as he goes to college? Where's this go with Morin as he makes the jump to the American League? Really interesting to see how things go next season for these two defensemen. As we start to wrap things up this hour, thanks to Jordan Bay over on the Flames media relations staff for making all that work, and Reese as well for making all that work earlier this week at Winsport. This hour starting to wrap up. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Shan Taylor, our outstanding producers this hour. And you can get Flames Talk this hour and more wherever you get your podcasts. We've been doing this hour from the Groundworks Downtown Studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.